Hey, hey, and welcome to this, the 4D Recruitment Method podcast with me, Jeremy Snell. Join me as we unpack ideas, tactics, and processes to help you grow your business. I need to start this episode with an acknowledgement. I know you know you're not your competitors. This isn't about me suddenly revealing to you there are differences between what you are and potentially what they are and how you operate. One of the challenges is, though, if people haven't worked in a recruitment business, so let's think about a typical client or a candidate, all they have visibility of is what they've seen, what they've experienced, and what's been shared with them. Which then means that they can create these generalizations about what they would consider to be agencies or recruitment. And a slippery slope to go down is when you run your own recruitment business, is to start to position yourself as being better. Better than others, better than the average, better than the standard experience. Because as soon as you start to set your stall out as being better, what you're saying is, we're doing the same to a higher standard. So you're kind of inviting yourself into the comparisons by acknowledging the similarities, and then the difference becomes the betterness, you know? I'm not entirely sure that that's the best angle to go at, unless it's the only place that you can perform, being better than somebody else. When really what we want to achieve is being different. Because when we become different, so many of the other comparisons fall by the wayside. And that's what sits at the core of the 4D recruitment method. It's about differentiation, as opposed to betterment. And I think there are many agencies who could claim that they can recruit better. It doesn't automatically mean that they can calibrate that against the 100,000 other recruiters who are out there, put them in a league table and say, we are better because. But what they could start to think about is, how do we show ourselves to be different in a way that generates a uniqueness, so that there is less opportunity for our potential customers to compare us as being the same or similar. And I know that it is rife in the prospect universe, the customer universe, the client universe, that there is this perception that agencies are pretty much the same. And they may not use those exact words, but if they say phrases like, other agencies are willing to do it for less, it's so laced with ambiguity. Other agencies. Well, who exactly? Like, what are you actually benchmarking me against to put me in this conglomerate that you're calling others? Because if you're saying others are willing to do it for less, you're probably tarring me with the same brush. And that doesn't automatically mean that they're not good and I'm good. I just know that I'm different. And because I know that I'm different, creating the comparison is what starts to create the issues. And other phrases that clients may use. Other agencies haven't been so insistent on asking all of these questions. Other agencies don't seem to feel the need to have time in the diary to understand the job. They're quite happy to go off and work on the job description. Other agencies aren't asking to meet us and doing what it feels is spending more time asking questions about the job rather than going to go and find me people. So as you get these micro pushbacks, ambiguous comparisons, you know that this person in this business is struggling to see the difference between you and others. So when you get price comparisons, we do work with agencies, but it's capped at 15%. You're more than welcome to work on this job However, no, you can't talk to these line managers. Or maybe you should be talking to the talent team who deal with all the recruitment agencies rather than me. And without being too judgy, there is a fitness for purpose to different businesses with different models at different times for each organization. And I have to highlight the fact this isn't about
being better than everybody else.
It's about being fit for purpose for what is required, recognizing where your differences create that fitness for purpose where other options will fail. So therefore, in this moment, you are the unique offering. You are the difference itself that means that you become the person who gets instructed. So if you want to come across as being different, it starts before you even do any outreach to talk to prospects. It's about how you define in your own mind, what am I willing to accept? What are the rules of engagement that I would consider to be my minimum expectations as to how I onboard and how they in turn onboard me, so that we create a mutually beneficial relationship rather than an arm's length customer supplier transactional relationship. It's how I react to phrases like other agencies are willing to do it for less. If I join the masses, I'll start to interrogate the word less. If I start to think a little more clearly about the requirement for differentiation, then it's not about the others. It's not about less. It's about the client's definition of it. It's interesting you say others are willing to do it for less. Based upon your conversations with them, what is it that they are proposing to do? Based upon your experience of working with those businesses, what is it that you're asking them to deliver? And when you get more clarity on their definition of it, as opposed to a debate about who the others are, or a conversation about what the definition of less looks like and value for money, but arguing over the wrong things if we're talking about others and less, because really it's about, what is your perception of it, Mr. or Mrs. Client? Because if we can't have an agreement as to what it is, it's very difficult to say that others are willing to do it, and certainly difficult to be able to say, is their pricing in line with doing it for less, or are they charging less for doing something else? And I know that may feel moot. I know that may feel as though in the heat of battle, oh, but Jeremy, I want to win this client. I want to be able to prove to them how good I am. The moment you join in with being the same, the more you give them permission to continue through the process to treat you the same. Poor quality feedback after interview, tardy communication, low-balling candidates could all become invited because of your acceptance of being treated the same. When every ounce of your body knows you are not your competitors. So how we actually engage with this client in the conversation that revolves around the little things that they say and how we pick up on the right ones to investigate, to explore, to discuss as two mature business professionals rather than petulant recruiters arguing with sulky clients. Do you know? And then when it comes to creating your differentiation in your solution, it's what you choose to show. It's how you show up. It's how you talk with fluency about the challenges that are associated with good quality hiring. How really it's about the engagement of the right people very early on in the process to ensure their attention all the way through. It's about the quality of assessment that is taking place pre the client meeting those individuals and how the client goes about conducting their own assessment to make sure that they are doing it following the right process so that they compare each individual to the mission and they don't fall into the trap of comparing the candidates to each other. which is the road to rapid rejections. So when you think about your own behaviors, you think about the tools that you may have at your disposal. You think about the materials that you can start to develop to help to be able to showcase. I believe that what I have is unique for the challenges that you're facing and creates a significant level of differentiation between other options that may exist that on the face of it look as though they are organizations who all work within recruitment. And your credibility, your professionalism, your quiet confidence in your difference, rather than your emphatic, passion-driven belief that you are better. Because I think that's everyone's sales mantra. Well, let me take that back. That's wrong. It's not everyone's sales mantra. I think it's too many people's sales mantra that it creates a desensitization for clients to feel like I've heard it all before. And they'll let the recruiter who is happy to talk about what makes them better, their specializations, the size of their network, the work that they do to be able to fully understand a job, fully understand a candidate, to make really good matches, and then quickly agree, sure, email me the job description. Let me see who I've got. If you could get back to me with feedback as quickly as you can, that would be great. And it just ends up being this flabby agreement, which feels nothing like the behaviors of somebody who is the pitch, who is the About Us page on the website. Like imagine being a client and you succumb to a pitch. And during the pitch, they say, we invest a significant amount of our time headhunting people for you, so that we give you a selection of people who are the best in the market rather than on the market, right? And they've got this polished spiel about the visible candidates, the invisible candidates, the power of headhunting. But then actually what happens in their office underneath the bonnet, it's scrawny little messages pinged out to people on LinkedIn en masse. One email sent to 50 people.
Hey, you, I've got this job. It's 80 grand and it's this job title and it's doing these things. What's your current situation?
Sorry about my silly little accent. It just helps to add some color, right? But as they start pinging out these messages, I'm not sure how much of them actually buys into the fact that what they're doing is headhunting. But they won the work because of their eloquent spiel about the headhunting. And they're now doing grubby work in a race to be able to find candidates before the client loses interest in them and starts to follow a different path. And because they didn't have 100% confidence in their ability to deliver, they didn't create anything like a pit stop to be able to say, we'll get together in 48 hours after I begin the work so that we can have a meaningful discussion about what I've discovered and the people that I'm interacting with. Now, I just went on a race to go and find some people. And as they hit up 100 people on LinkedIn and 18 of them come back in the positive, they feel like they've got enough choice and they pick the best of the 18, which is everything that their pitch is not, because they're now picking the best of the people who are on the market rather than the people who are in the market, because the ones who are in the market, surely they're the 82 who ignored the message. So a client ends up buying a pitch, experiencing something different. And then if they hear the pitch again, it ends up being a, here we go again. It's that thing, the polished pitch, the low grade results. And that client who buys the headhunting pitch then gets a short list of candidates or gets trickle fed some candidates. And 66% of them currently don't have a job or are being made redundant. I'm not quite sure when in the past a headhunted candidate and search would produce such a high percentage of people who didn't have a job or had been told in the very near future, you're not going to have a job. Some of them will be good. But to have 2 out of 3 in a shortlist currently out of work, but you claim that what you're doing is proactive targeting of people based upon capability, based upon results, and then you go and find me people who I then interview and I ask, how did you meet the agency? Oh, I was looking for a job, right? I had my CV on a job board and they phoned me. Or, yeah, I was scrolling through LinkedIn, looking at vacancies, and I saw their advert, so I clicked apply and they got back to me. Clients aren't stupid, you know. I do think that when they start to smell a bit of bullshit, they'll start to do some investigations. And those end up being the clients who then start to maybe slow things down or maybe start to ask questions internally. Or dare I say, are the ones who try to renegotiate at the end because what they feel they have been sold is not what got delivered. So there is things to be mindful of in terms of how you present your business. When you present your business, when you present your solution, and you present your solution as fit for purpose, you need to ensure that the experience that follows it is consistent and congruent with what you've promised. If you are going to do extensive searches to network with those who may not actively be looking for a job, just act as if the client is going to ask in that interview, how did you become aware of this? Start to think about, how do I behave like the person I am claiming to be with more consistency? And I'm not challenging what you're doing in terms of suggesting you're saying one thing and doing another. It's one of those things that creeps. It creeps into what happens. And it creates a difference between how the business presents itself and then the experience that gets generated for the customer. So please, as obvious as it is to say that you're not your competitors, when someone tries to treat you like one of your competitors, when someone tries to treat you like another agency, like the others who are out there, behave in a way that shows your recoil at the comparison rather than debating the level of betterment in the areas of comparison, and start to showcase how you believe that there is difference as opposed to improvement. And I guarantee, as you practice that, as you start to become more consistent with the way that you protect your own identity as a recruiter, your brand will become stronger. And adopting those 4Ds that sit inside the 4D recruitment method will give you that roadmap to help you to be able to produce for your clients the experience that they've been looking for, that they've been left wanting from time to time from other recruitment businesses, because they've yet to actually find someone who can behave the way that they claim that they will in the pitches that they present. So there's some food for thought there for you people. Digest, do with as you see fit. Any comment, any thoughts, you know where to find me. Hit me up on LinkedIn, ping me a message. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thanks for listening. And remember, if there's anything I can do to help, just drop me a message.